Hebrews chapter 12 is where we will begin this afternoon. We're continuing our study of God's answers to our problems, different sins which do so easily beset us that the Word of God exposes to us. And Lord, we understand that He doesn't simply give the diagnosis, He also gives the cure. And with everything that we've studied so far, we've seen that the Lord shows us our problem, but then shows us how to solve it as well. So what we want to speak on this afternoon is bitterness. So let's read Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. It says, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for your word. We thank you for its truth. We thank you how it pierces, dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We realize, Lord, sometimes it shows us things we don't like to see, but we realize you're showing them to us, Lord, because you want us to deal with them. And we just pray you would help us in this instance, Lord. Help us to eradicate this root of bitterness from our lives, Lord, and let us be ever vigilant so that it doesn't come back again, Lord. And we just ask this all in your name. Amen. And when the idea of bitterness, when you try to study out the word used, whether in the English or the Greek, it's the idea of something that leaves a bad taste in your mouth, something that's hard to stomach, and if you've ever had something that's really bitter, once you get it in your mouth, trying to get that taste out of your mouth is not an easy thing. I remember one time I was asked to house sit for a person for about a week, and they said that help myself to anything that was in the fridge, and so I was, but I was kind of at a place where I couldn't just go to the store that readily or anything, and I was there and I had kind of a craving for chocolate, and so I went looking, and here I found they had some Baker's chocolate. And I thought, oh, this will be good. This will get my chocolate fixed. But of course, there's no sugar in Baker's chocolate. And ate that, and it wasn't quite what I expected. And it was very bitter. And once you get that in your mouth, it's very bitter. It's just the same. I know with the kids, sometimes they want an orange, and they're such an excitement to get to the orange, they bite into the peel, and then they find that it doesn't taste like what's inside the peel. And so it is that thought of a bitter taste. And we realize that in the idea of bitterness in our lives, that there's things that can happen that kind of leave a bad taste in our mouth, and trying to get that out is a hard thing. And we define bitterness as being extreme enmity, holding a grudge, being implacable, which is the idea that no matter how hard one tries, a person can't be appeased or pacified or rendered peaceable. They're stuck in this situation of bitterness and they can't get out of it. And we see very aptly of how the Lord describes it, this idea of a root of bitterness. And just like any nasty weed, you have to get all of it out, otherwise it's going to come back again. I remember when we picked weeds as kids, one of the things our garden was infested with was horseradish. And of course, for some that's not a weed, but for us it sure was. And you try to pull it, and as a kid you get the top off, and you know there was a root down there, but you just kind of cover it over with dirt, and you figure you've done your job. But of course, within less than a week, it's already springing up again. And so that's the thought of this root of bitterness, that each time it springs up, it troubles us and it defiles many. So we want to examine, first of all, how does this root get established? Just with any weed, there you know that there's some kind of seeds that brought it in. Just we think of the one weed that is the bane of seems every farmer's existence nowadays is kochia, of how it forms a tumbleweed, and all it has to do is just run across your property, and it drops all these seeds that you have to contend with. And so we want to think of that with bitterness, is how does it happen, where do these seeds come from, and how do we solve it. And so we see one of the seeds of bitterness we would see to be unforgiveness of a past wrong where someone's done something to us that isn't fair, and we look at it as being a bitterness towards our fellow man. Perhaps we've been wounded. Perhaps someone has betrayed our trust. Someone has not done what they should have, that we've been hurt because of it, that we feel this was hurt, we feel this has not been done right, and we want that wrong to be righted. We want that person to admit their guilt and make an apology. And, of course, so often that doesn't come. Sometimes it's the instance that a person does something to us and it hurts us, and they don't think that they've done wrong, that they think that they're right. Sometimes we recognize that the person knows that they did us wrong, but they're too proud to admit it, or they don't want to make that apology, say they're sorry. And then, of course, I think probably one of the worst things is when you find someone that's hurt you or done you wrong, and they're totally oblivious to it. They don't even realize it, and they look at you and they wonder, well, what's your problem? Why is this giving you such a hard time? And so it's something that it eats away at us, and we have this desire for revenge, to make it right, to assert our rights in that way. And of course we cannot control the actions of others. I'm sure we would like to, but things happen and there's so much that is out of our control. But what is in control is our response to how other people act. And I think the devil wants to discourage us, he wants to defeat us, he wants to hurt us through others so that we give up, so that we get frustrated, we stop serving the Lord as we ought to. Either we get out of the game completely, or we might still be serving the Lord, but we're robbed of our joy, robbed of our happiness. And it's a sad thing with this, that a person may wrong us, that this may be an action that has happened in the past, but yet the devil gains victory in it over us day after day after day. It just keeps coming back, and he still gets a victory over one thing that happened many, many years ago. And so we see that this is one seed of bitterness, unforgiveness of past wrong, and bitterness towards our fellow man. But I think another seed that we must recognize is that of envy, that we see what other people have, what other people enjoy, and we want that. We wish that we had it. We wonder why we don't get to enjoy it. They have success, we seem to meet with failure. They have abundance, we suffer need. They enjoy physical strength, we suffer weakness. But all these different things happen, and we have this heart of envy that can spring up. It starts from when we're young. We look at what others have. You go through school, and there's always somebody that's more popular or seems to have everyone falling off their every word or want to follow them around, and it seems to be just the opposite way with us sometimes, and it can happen in so many different ways and so many different times in our life, but that we see things that happen and we wonder, well, why doesn't that happen to me? And the thought is, well, it's not fair. I want it. I deserve it. I got a raw deal. But this should not have happened this way. And we see the idea of unforgiveness as a bitterness towards our fellow man, but envy is, in a sense, a bitterness towards God, that we think that God didn't give us what we deserve. God wasn't fair to us. It's something that, even though we don't want to admit it, sometimes that is what happens, that we're not trusting God. We're questioning His wisdom. And so we see that's the seed of bitterness and the root of bitterness that gets established. It produces a fruit. When it springs up, it troubles you and it defiles many. And once it gets growing, it's a real fight. It's a noxious weed. It spreads quickly. It can, when we understand that with bitterness, that one person can be infected by it and it can spread to many other people as well, that bitterness can actually affect generations, where We actually think of it in history where you have different places. We think of Ireland, we think of places in the former Yugoslavia where there's this bitterness that has happened for generations, that someone did wrong to someone, and it's been so long nobody even remembers what it actually was, but there's just that enmity, that bitterness, that hatred against one another. And it is a very dangerous thing. And we see, even in scriptures where it speaks to husbands that they're to love their wives and be not bitter against them, of how holding a bitterness as a married couple can destroy things, that it's something that a husband is to be very careful that doesn't enter in. And so we see that, what it's produced, and if you turn with me to James chapter 3, we see also this idea of how envy can spring up, how it can affect things. James chapter 3 and verse 14, it says, James 3 and verse 14, "But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For when envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." That when we have this bitterness, this envying, this strife, it just causes trouble, that it raises a ruckus. And as it says, there is confusion in every evil work, and we don't want that. It's the thought, just as we know the one proverb where it says that the idle hands are a devil's workshop, it seems that a bitter heart is also something where when he gets into it and it gets going, that it can cause a whole lot of grief. Proverbs 27 verse 4, it says, "Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who can stand before envy?" That it can cause a great deal of harm in that way. And we think also of unforgiveness, of how holding a judge, or not holding a judge, but holding a grudge rather, that it manifests itself again and again, that it springs up again and again, not only towards the one who maybe did us the wrong in the first place, but it seems anyone else that might do us wrong or think of doing us wrong, that when we have that root of bitterness established, that we become on edge, we become distrustful, we think every person is just the next person in a long line of people that are going to try to do us wrong, that are try to do an injustice against us, that are going to try to tick us off. And so what happens, someone does something to us, and it might be just a small thing, but then we react. We get mad, and it's sort of this, it's been building and building and building, and then just one little thing causes the whole dam to burst, and we pour out this great rant against someone, and the person just staggering back and wondering, well, where did all this come from? I just did this little thing and all this is flooding against me. And of course we realize that that's an overreaction. It's because of all that other stuff that's been built up, this unforgiveness, that even if someone isn't doing us wrong, they might do us wrong, that we're already acting against that. And so we have to be careful of that. We realize the fruit of bitterness, that it manifests itself in our words. Bible speaks of against evil speaking and backbiting and bad-mouthing someone else. It is something that we must be very careful, that we talked about last week of how we must be very wise in how we use our tongue, that even as Jesus said, that every idle word that men speak, he shall give account thereof in the day of judgment, that it must be something we must be very wise in. And then we see also a fruit of bitterness is malice. And malice we can define as wishing evil on someone else. And that's the thing, if we have an unforgiveness against a person, we want revenge. When something bad happens to them, we rejoice. And that is not what the Lord wants us to have, that we don't have that desire, that we're to pray for our enemies, we're to love our enemies, pray for them to despitefully use us. And we want to see that's where our lives can be, but that is not where God wants us to be. This, He does not want this fruit to be in our lives. We see in Titus chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior." And that thought that we've been washed, we've been cleansed, that this doesn't have to have power over us anymore. And so we see, if we are to... We look at this root of bitterness, that we realize this is something that I must eradicate from my life, that we realize that there are things to do through the Scriptures that it says that show us the path to getting rid of this in our lives and preventing it from getting established once more. And we see that in terms of unforgiveness, that is something we need to learn to forgive. We see this in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31. Ephesians 4:31, it says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." That is something, when someone has done us wrong, we need to let it go. We need to give it over to the Lord. We need to forgive. That it's something, if we hold on to it, if we cling to it, we realize that we are only hurting ourselves. It says in Matthew chapter 11, or no, actually it's Mark chapter 11, sorry, Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, and it says, "And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses." And this is something we don't exactly understand, but we see plainly that the Lord, it seems, in many ways treats us in the way that we treat others. And if we are not forgiving, that it is something that He holds things to our account, rather. And it is a scary thing to think of, that because of our unforgiveness, that what God has cleansed, that somehow it could come back to His memory again because of our unforgiveness. And so we realize how important it is that we forgive, that we have been forgiven so much ourselves, all the wrongs that we have done to the Lord, that if He was to bring them all against us, we would not know what to do, but yet He forgives us, and so we need to forgive as well. And we realize if we have been wronged, and our case might be just, if it was put before the court of law, that we would be found to be proven right. But we need to realize, as the Lord says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." That we allow Him to take care of it, that we take that burden off of ourselves, and we just say, "Lord, You're going to have to judge this person in Your time, that I'm not going to deal with it anymore, that I'm just going to give it to You." And that's what He wants us to do, not to be overcome with evil, but to overcome evil with good, so that the devil does not get a victory over us anymore. And when it comes to envy, this bitterness against God, where we think that we've missed out, we need to realize that it's not worth it. We see this in Psalm chapter 37. The psalmist spoke that, and giving wisdom to those that heard, and because it is sometimes we see people that they don't have any knowledge of God, they don't seem to be following God, and yet life seems to go great for them. And things go hard for us. We wonder why that is. But we see Psalm 37 verse 1, it says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. That we're not to concern ourselves with that. It says, Psalm 37, verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. And that's what we have to understand, that it isn't something that it's worth being envious of others. We need to realize that God has not wronged us, that God can never wrong us, that everything that He does is according to His infinite wisdom, His infinite love. And I think we misunderstand God's purpose for our life. God isn't interested in making our life happy and comfortable. It's in conforming us to His image. And sometimes He uses difficult circumstances and they're for His purpose to make us into His image. And sometimes what happens is he wants us to be strong under adversity, but instead we falter under it. And He wants us to realize that it isn't for our evil, it's for our good. That we need to make the most of what He has given us. That we don't hide our talent in our napkin, as the one parable spoke of. That we kind of wish that we were given more to do with, but we make the most of what we have. I realize everything that happens to us is for a reason. If God's withholding something for us, it is in our best interest. Maybe the reason why He doesn't give us lots of money because He knows that it would turn us against Him. That He wants us to rely on Him and have faith day to day. And sometimes other things that others have that we don't have, maybe the Lord's decided, well, I think if I give that to Him, that it's going to go to His head, it's going to get them off thinking about me, and so I'm going to, in my wisdom and in my love, I am going to give them this instead. And we realize that each of us has a different race to run. That sometimes some may have a life that seems easy, others might have a harder race, but we know the Lord is going to sort it all out in the end, and we just need to be faithful in running the course that He has set before us. And so we see with this, with bitterness, its root, its seeds, its fruit, that all of this we want to eradicate from our lives, that we want to stamp out every vestige of it, this weed of bitterness, so that the fruit of the Spirit can blossom forth in our lives. That we can have joy, we can love as we ought to. That people can see God's love and God's forgiveness in our own lives. And as we examine this root, we see where it's taken root in our life, and we pull it out, every little shred of that root. That we see that the Lord blesses us. That joy returns, and that. He helps us to have victory and joy like we never have had in a very long time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You once again for Your Word. We just pray that You would bless us as Your people, Lord, and just help us to be aware of these sins which do so easily beset us, Lord, so that we may seek Your grace to overcome them and have victory in them. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's just stand once more, and we'll turn to hymn number 306 and sing, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Hymn 306.